Welcome to the GuestX podcast, where my co-host Brian O'Malley and I uncover the latest technologies and human-driven initiatives that are raising customer expectations and forever changing how we define customer experience across a host of industries. If you're passionate about creating incredible content and unique experiences, join us as we talk to leading product and experience experts across the globe and learn about how today's most successful brands are setting themselves apart from the competition. Good afternoon and welcome to the GuestX podcast. I'm here with my co-host, Brian O'Malley. Brian, happy Friday, bud. How you doing?
I'm good. It's been a while, I think. Maybe a whole week.
It's been a week. I think we did one. We did one with Julie. We had to do one like in an evening because it was in Australia for her, I think was the last one we did, where she was coming to us live from the future.
Right? Yeah. I mean, she was telling us exactly what was happening. Unfortunately for me, I played the lottery and
didn't win. Still didn't win.
She gave me the wrong numbers.
Yeah. How are you? Good. You know, I mean, it's July and, obviously we're in the heart of summer now and starting to feel it. When you start to talk to people in the industry, you can just start, it's starting to wear on people, I think. I think we're still in that a little bit of an extended season, it feels like, from COVID, where it just hasn't kind of dropped down. So people didn't get the breaks and just think they're starting to get towards their last nerve a little bit. But it's been
really
good.
It's been really interesting.
Yeah, it's been an interesting year.
Season already.
Yeah, interesting that year. We're starting to return to a little more seasonality. You know, when you compare it over 2021, you're seeing at least the seasonal, I think, dips are starting to return to normal, kind of 2019-ish type. The numbers are still a lot better than 2019, but at least it's starting to feel a little more to have the same seasonal ebb and flows.
It's true. Our market's changed significantly in Orlando.
Yeah.
Booking windows have changed. The client base has changed quite a bit. So we're trying to adjust and figure this market out. But I think we've got an interesting guest today that we'll be able to ask some questions about what they're seeing. Probably one of the biggest market leaders for us, especially.
So they've got a little bit of data. A little bit of data.
Yeah.
Go ahead. Yeah, let's get into it.
So today we have Tim Rosolio. He is the VP of Partner Success at Vacation Rentals for Expedia. He is a subject matter expert in VR, including roles with a number of key projects and initiatives such as monetization strategy, VR competitiveness, acquisition readiness, and the Fast Start program. Tim, welcome to the show.
Thanks so much for having me, Brian and Matt. Really excited to be here. I've been listening for the past few weeks to a variety of the podcasts, and I love the angle you guys take here. I mean, so many of these things are strictly first about the business piece. And what I like what you guys have done is you really focused on the experience piece, because ultimately that's what we're delivering. And if we deliver that, kind of like the business thing seems to take care of itself. So thanks for having me. Excited to chat.
Yeah, we appreciate you taking the time to come and meet us. We know you're a super busy guy, to say the least. So, but before we get into the podcast, I'd love for our listeners that don't know you, just give us a little bit of your background, what your role is inside of Expedia, and let's get our guests to know who you are.
Sure, absolutely. So I joined HomeAway at the time in 2015. I was in the corporate strategy group, and some people that listen to this podcast are probably aware that we were bought by Expedia in the latter half of that year. And John Kim came in, who was the head of product, and then became the president of HomeAway at the time. And during that period of time, I actually served as his chief of staff for the leadership team. So I was in all of these amazing discussions with John to learn about the product, and Jeff Hurst to learn about the commercials and the industry. Along with that, of course, there was a business model transition. And as we transitioned that business model, we needed to start thinking about, well, we used to have this team that sold and renewed and upselled subscriptions. And because that's not the way that the business was going to work anymore, we needed to think about what is our sales and account management team going to do? So I was brought into that group, the sales and account management group, to really think about the strategy of like, well, what does this team do? And what we did after that was really we started developing account managers, people that were in place to really help professional hosts and totally new hosts, even individual owners, try to be successful on our websites, because there's such a learning curve that you need to learn to do this well. So we transitioned the account management team to that model. We also, we're in charge of thinking about how do we acquire properties in the right areas. And, the next thing that happened was Expedia went to more of a, converged model where the strategy people worked across a variety of things. And at that point, I learned a whole lot about the full lodging space. So a bunch of really experienced people in the hotel space. I was mostly working with a guy named Hari Nair, who's actually now my boss, as I've now come back to sort of my passion, which is VR. And today I am in charge of the account management team of about 200 global people that ultimately are here to educate our partners on how to be successful on our platform. So it's been a homecoming for me. This is the category I'm super passionate about. I'm a traveler, I'm a shareholder, I'm an employee, and I'm also an owner. So Matt, when you were giving your intro about challenging days during the summer, changing beds, et cetera, I experienced it myself. So it's been a fun journey.
That's great. And yeah, it's exciting. I think it's important as this industry's continue to evolve, bringing in the right mix of people who came from this industry, who understand where it came from, right? But also then bringing in those other industries, the hoteliers, people who've come from those backgrounds, because they're in, Brian and I talk all the time, there's a lot to learn from those industries who are a little bit more just further along in their industry's kind of life cycle. One of the things, you brought up there, Tim, which I think a lot of people who have been around in our industry knew, but probably don't fully appreciate, is what a big shift it is to go from that subscription model where it's really just, aggregated listings. It's that true billboard effect, to then kind of more of a, dual-sided marketplace where the consumer, you're bringing the consumers in. And part of that then is building that brand around Vrbo so that consumers understand and they trust that brand. But when you think about the guest experience, obviously the guest experience, there's part of that that's on your site. And I think where Expedia and Vrbo have done a great job, and I'm sure there's an unbelievable amount of people who are dedicated to how do we get that consumer what they're looking for as fast as possible, eliminate the friction on the site, right? That helps your lodging providers. But then you really have to hand off that guest experience to your partners. And when you've now spent all this money building this brand and this brand equity, that's a lot of trust to hand off. I mean, you guys are probably spending hundreds of millions of dollars building that and constantly reinforcing it. How do you guys think about the guest experience and how to maintain it in such a way that supports the brand, even though you don't control every facet of it?
Yeah, I mean, it's a really good question and very much ties into the evolution that we've been on. So probably the way I would think of it is like, listen, in the old days when we sold subscriptions and we sold tiered subscriptions, everything that we did was largely focused on the partner at first. And as the two-sided marketplace has evolved, we've had to start thinking about that in terms of balance. I mean, I think some of our competitors have swung the pendulum like 100% all the time to the traveler, and sort of like the traveler always wins and they think of the partners as a commodity. And we disagree with that. I mean, I think that we know that the secret sauce that Vrbo has is this amazing supply we have in the very best destinations with the very best hosts. So if you think about what have we done to take advantage of that asset while at the same time making sure that there's constantly travelers coming back to our site to make bookings and have continued good experiences, it really comes down to transparency. So the first thing that I would call out is all of the reviews. So, it starts with the idea of getting those trust signals for partners so that travelers can see that this is a good vacation rental, this is a good house, this is a good partner. They have a history of treating partners very well. And we have a conversion-based sort. So the way it works, the way that we make money, is we get those signals that the host provide good traveler experiences, and we give those partners more visibility. And then we give the partners that don't give that experience much less visibility. So it kind of creates this flywheel effect where we kind of can help everybody out. You're enabling the guests to see the best partners, and then you're rewarding those partners even more. And it, it's worked really well for us. And it works well for everyone, honestly. It works well with the travelers, works well with the partners, it works more for us because then we get more bookings that we get to monetize.
Yeah, and that is, I think, Brian, something that people don't really appreciate, which is, I think sometimes OTAs, you know, they get a little bit of a bad rap. But what I don't think people fully appreciate is they're on the same side of the table as the operators. Ultimately, good operators win, bad operators lose, and the guest experience improves for everyone. You can charge more for those homes because people are willing to pay more for the, you know, for because they feel they feel more confident in making their purchase about what they're getting, and the good operators are rewarded for being good operators. I mean, you talk about it a lot, you know, that way, Brian, but I think there's a lot of millions of dollars of algorithms being spent to deliver that, right, Tim? I mean, deliver that exact kind of it's snowball effect.
It. It's at the heart of it. I mean, if you look at like the increase in visibility and demand and appreciation for our industry, guest experience is all very much at the heart of that. Like the up-leveling of the guest experience is raising the tide for everybody. And like, actually, like during the pandemic, that's probably been the period of time where our industry shined the most. And we've had the opportunity to reward those best hosts even better because there's so much demand for these people that are trying to, that maybe are trying vacation rentals for the first time. And I think what we found is when we provide those types of guests to those types of partners, those guests say, I'm going to try this again. And I'm going to tell all my friends about it. And that leads to things like more app downloads, which adds more traffic. So back to the notion of flywheel. But I think like the technology providers are the people that are really, I think, helping getting more transparency and more data available out there for the travelers to see. And that's ultimately been really good for everybody.
I think it's a fascinating, especially reviews. I think when I think of guest experience, the ultimate result comes down to reviews. That is it. One of the things that I have found over the last, and I got back into property management the later part of last year, has been the change between, you know, the first go around, which was 2008 to 2016, to now the second go around, and the effect that reviews has on the business, the hosts, and then ultimately, you know, the guests as well. The approach is so different. You have some of your main competitors where they've really just sided with the guests 100%, and it's affecting businesses in a very negative way, almost dangerously, because hosts are having to do things forcefully to be able to get or maintain a certain status. Whereas Vrbo and Expedia have implemented a system that I feel has been extremely fair to the marketplace. It's not unattainable. It gives us fair reviews across the board, both the hosts and to the guests, and you don't feel as threatened. Do you think that reviews are going to continue to drive basically migration of hosts from one platform to you guys, and then, you know, we'll be more loyal to one platform more than the others? Because we look at it all the time, and my loyalty is starting to sway towards one platform because of very simple things like reviews.
Well, I'm certainly pretty stoked. You're going to be bad, right? but on top of that, I mean, I think you're spot on with the notion of like reviews are central to trust, right? And all of the data that we have shows that going from zero reviews to one review is the most important review, because you've stamped this unknown property. Like, we don't have brands. This isn't Marriott or Hilton where you know what to expect. Travelers look at a house and they say, well, that's a beautiful home, but they have literally no reviews. But once you get the stamp of approval surrounding that first reviews, you've sort of been tagged as a valid property. And then the second most valuable review is 1 to 2 and 2 to 3 and 3 to 4 and so on. And, you know, it's really all about providing a track record of delivering those amazing experiences. On the notion of platforms, I think that we index towards quality, and that's consistent with what we're really trying to solve for, which, you know, Jeff Hirsch, he calls it complex family travel. So the idea is if we can solve the use case of a multi-generational family coming to one of our houses and they can have a good experience, then we also will have the ability to solve it for two parents and a child, or a single parent with two children, or just a couple. But like, we start with the use case of that complex family travel, and guess what house they want? They want that amazing four bedroom house that's on the beach. And we've really thought about how do we acquire properties that have the right use case for complex family travel and then deliver the great experience. And, you know, along with that, you know, we haven't necessarily focused as much on condominiums in cities or, you know, certain locations where perhaps it's relatively inconsistent with that complex family travel. So I think by having that degree of specialization, it's enabled us to build an entire ecosystem of reviews that are consistent with what those types of travelers want. And frankly, like what those partners want. The partners want the nice family coming to their house and enjoying the best vacation of their lives. It's a better experience. They're going to take care of the house better. They're going to spend more. They're going to book further in advance. It's what we're trying to deliver the travelers, what the travelers want, and we're trying to deliver the partners what they want.
Do you think that's one of the benefits of the acquisition of Expedia of Vrbo, is that you haven't had to shift to the urban markets because you have lodging in the cities? It's just in a little bit different vertical right now. I mean, you know, Expedia had, you know, all of the hotels and everything you would need in New York and a Boston, where other verticals, if all you have is vacation rentals, you either had to shift to trying to find the more condo apartments, apart hotels and whatever, you know, other new terminology you want to give them, but they had to shift there so that they have product in those markets. You guys have been able to really continue the focus on, I would say, and not that I'm sure you guys have a good platform for those markets, but I feel like the success was and continues to be the leisure traveler heading to drive to leisure markets continues to be a big focus of Vrbo. Would you say that's a correct assessment?
I'd say it's absolutely the case. Yeah. And, you know, the acquisition actually plays a big part of that, right? Because Expedia Group, we have something in the shelf in New York. We actually have really good inventory in New York. And some of them are vacation rentals, but really more often than not, it's going to be an amazing selection of hotels. And that's enabled us to really focus on ski, beach, and mountain, which is a lot more consistent with what our traveler base wanted anyway. And then I would also say over, you know, the past 7 years, you know, the regulatory pressures that exist in urban markets, you know, it just makes it a harder place to play. So I think it's been a relatively intentional strategy. And I think that it actually fits really well together with what some of our complementary brands do as well.
We talk about the unifying of lodging, which I've said on this podcast before. I believe that at the end of the day is great for everyone, because we shouldn't talk about hotels, apart hotels, vacation rent. We should just talk about lodging and then let the consumer, you know, they're going to gravitate towards the one that fits the purpose, the reason they're traveling. You know, at Explorer, our entire company is, well, we've got about 1500 hotel, but it's almost all vacation rentals. But when I go for 2 days or a one night stay, I usually stay in a hotel. It makes more economical sense, the cleaning fees and things like that. But when I go for a 4 or 5 day stay, I stay in a vacation rental. To the extent I think that we can get away from trying to silo these types and just talk about the benefits of each, and then also which maybe isn't right for your trip. That's a big piece of delivering on guest experience, I would say, Tim, is trying to get quickly to what is going to meet their expectations. Cause that's usually when you succeed in guest expectation, when you set the expectation correctly and you always meet or exceed it. Is that?
I think, I actually agree with you 100%. I think one of the things that they've actually done is that they've maintained a brand and not changed the brand, understanding what the ultimate goal was with that particular brand. One thing that's been interesting about Expedia's acquisition with Vrbo is that they didn't change the way you guys really operate. They folded you into a larger brand, but they maintained the actual vision of the company. And that's not traditional. For most part, a lot of the bigger companies, when they fold you in, they're just acquiring the units, bringing in the eyeballs and you know, molding it into that particular brand, where you guys were almost kept separate, and you continued to operate with your older team and the product with the exact vision that it needed to have. So I think that's been part of the success of Vrbo within Expedia.
I think that's right. I think the help that Expedia gave us, though, was they taught us how to do e-commerce. You know, at the time, there were a lot of people that were great about building a subscription business. And, you know, the people that came in from Expedia really brought in the end-to-end vision surrounding how do we do visibility? How do you drive conversion? How do you drive repeat rate? Which, you know, while those things weren't totally foreign to the old HomeAway days, it wasn't our DNA when Expedia, like, that's like all they've lived since literally the 90s. So the expertise that we got from Expedia was really influential in a lot of the success we've had over the past handful of years. But like, at the same time, like, you know, I give them credit for not touching things that are actually pretty important for VR, right? Like, I think that there are some people that try to hotelify VR. There are, you know, again, we're not going to name competitors. There are certain competitors that don't have, that all they have is unbookable properties. And for some properties that are, you know, a 15 bedroom home that actually only does certain types of bookings for certain types of groups, like, I don't know, maybe Instant Book actually doesn't necessarily fit that type of home. So I think they've done a nice job of keeping what's great about VR and keeping what's malleable about the VR shopping experience consistent, while at the same time bringing the VR category a lot of sophistication in terms of servicing the best properties that offer the best guest experience to the travelers.
It's interesting. As you, kind of the person who's out front, right, with your suppliers, the property management companies, how do you talk to them about the consolidation we're seeing on their side of the street now? Because I do know that there's a little bit of a fear of some of the smaller operators that, you know, the more consolidation, obviously those who can deliver to you all 6,000, 50,000 properties, they have to be important, because we've seen the product wars between the platforms of, you know, who's got the most products on their site and who can make it easier, you know, fast start, at Vrbo, you know, get up and get going fast is all about acquiring that inventory. So those guys, obviously, as consolidation continues to happen, they wield more influence, but they're, you know, the small operators, the local operators are obviously very important. They usually, I would say, control more of the key inventory, maybe in some markets where it's a home that is on that piece of beach and it's a local operator who manages it. So how do you balance those two? Because that's two competing, a little bit of a competing interest for you all.
Yeah, it definitely is. And it's something that we have to continue looking at. Like, hey, like, we certainly spend more time talking to Evolve and Vacasa and Steve Milo than anybody, because, you know, we're following the money to a certain extent there. But what I would say remains consistent is we're going to reward the most professional managers that have the ability to have the guests coming back again and again and again. And, you know, another thing that, you know, we keep in mind as we start thinking about smaller operators is they're very often, like, they're not quite as indexed on building their own brand or their own direct traffic. So, like, you know, Evolve and Vacasa and Steve Milo, you know, they've been very transparent about trying to drive direct bookings, and they should. Like, I think that's good business. But ultimately, like, some of these local managers and the consolidation of us having a lot of opportunity to deliver bookings for them can actually kind of be our secret sauce because we can be their main demand channel. So, and to be perfectly honest, like I love both, right? Like there's been lots of conversation about the direct movement over the past few years. And I think, you know, probably certain people like at OTA sort of shake their head at that, but like we've built a great business based on the notion of building out traveler databases for really big property managers who then go and remarket to those travelers again. And like, hey, make no mistake, I'm going to remarket to that traveler too. But right. Like, but it's good business for us to have those big property managers help grow their business.
Yeah,
well, we see it as a
rising tide.
Well, you treat it as a partnership then, right? Because yeah. You're not saying, and we talk about it a lot in the industry, is you have to learn how to acquire customers. I'm not going to have the marketing power that you guys have. So if you bring eyes and ears and heads and beds to me, I'm happy to market and give you that percentage, whatever percentage you guys are asking for, because there's no way I'm reaching that volume of customer that you guys are. And vice versa, you guys are okay with us remarketing them. Now, will they book direct through me? Maybe if they have a fantastic experience and they trust me, they'll do it. But otherwise, to be honest, sometimes we're redirecting them back to the platforms because they've got a lot more security, especially from a traveler's perspective. Something goes wrong, they have something to fall back on. So there's a lot of value add when it comes to booking with our OTA partners. I want to move into what exciting things you guys are working on that our property managers should be looking forward to. Because moving in, you know, like you've said, from Vrbo into Expedia, I can imagine that you guys are working on a lot of really cool projects. It opens you up to doing so much more. So is there anything that we should be looking forward to as an industry that we haven't seen coming and might help us business-wise growing?
Yeah, it's a good question. And I'm, as you'd imagine, pretty excited to answer it. I mean, I think a lot of the things that we've been doing over the past year have been about consolidating our technology, consolidating our contracts, consolidating our APIs, and really trying to operate as one single Expedia group. And, you know, that's going to have a variety of opportunities for property managers. So let me give you a few examples. I mean, one of them is like, we've been putting our vacation rentals on Expedia and hotels.com for years, but because the technology stacks have been different, ultimately it's almost treated like third-party inventory. And like, it's not the experience that we would want it to be. But if we can get all of that inventory on a single technology stack, it will enable us to actually market these properties appropriately as VRs, make them look like VRs, make sure that the traveler knows it is in fact a VR on all these other websites. And if you think about it, once we do that, we can continue to optimize those channels to book VR. And that should drive more conversion and more booking. So that's the thing specifically on the traveler side. I really want to fulfill the promise of Expedia Group VR, not just Vrbo VR. And then on the partner side, I think if you think about different types of technology coming together, there's a variety of levers that they have on the hotel side of the business that are sort of coming to a theater near you. So let me give you a few examples. With a hotel, they're allowed to develop a seasonal cancellation policy. They can think about, I want this cancellation policy for summer and this cancellation policy for my off season. That's an interesting lever for VR, I think. If you think about all of the promotional capabilities that you would typically see with a hotel, a package deal, a early booking deal, a long stay deal, a last minute deal, as we put together the technology, VR is going to get all of that. If you think about a single Expedia Group loyalty program, so that somebody will have the ability to book hotel rooms, earn points, and then burn those at a vacation rental, that's also good for the vacation rental manager. And then the last one that, you know, I imagine there'll be some people that listen to this that will applaud, is there are more features that I would consider sort of pay for play, pay for visibility features within the technology stack. So for those of you that missed your Platinum subscription, well, you can buy something called a travel ad. A travel ad will get you on page one if you pay us enough. So those are some examples of things on the traveler side and on the partner side.
Unfortunately, you have just opened up a can of worms for us. And I think we're going to have you back, because I'm going to want to talk about the packaging of VR We're going to want to talk about the loyalty.
The loyalty.
Oh my gosh.
It's something this industry needs. Yeah. It needs desperately. There is some really cool stuff there. And I think too, so Tiff, as we wrap up, I think some people sometimes too aren't aware of a lot of, when you talk about that partnership, a lot of the things that Verbo's doing to help the property managers from a data standpoint. Here's where the industry is moving. Here's where things are going. Here's how your markets perform. If someone hasn't built as close of a relationship with your team as maybe they should, and maybe is using the platform, but not, I'm sure you guys are constantly putting out items and trying to get engagement right from those operators. But what's the best way for them to start to get to their team member, to the right member on your team, and go through that? Well, how do they go about doing that?
So there's a variety of ways that they can do that. I mean, I am hopeful that members of my team have reached out to them, and somewhere in their inbox, they have an email that says, "I'm so-and-so from Verbo, and I am your dedicated account manager." If in fact that hasn't happened, we actually have a direct routing system. So if you call into customer support and you have account manager, it's supposed to go to our account manager. And if it doesn't, we'll get you over to who they are. But you're right. I mean, there's a tremendous opportunity that we can provide. I think we can provide you a lot of data surrounding transparency, surrounding your performance. In some cases, that's going to be about, it's going to be about you're doing awesome and here's why. In other cases, it might be, well, here are the reasons that you're not getting as much visibility as perhaps you would like. The second thing is we have tons and tons of market data. And if you think about it, it's not just vacation rentals. We understand all the flight patterns. We have these market insights reports that we can provide you that will give you a lot of information about how to perform better in your market. And then I think we are really well positioned to continue to educate you about the products and features that are coming across in our marketplace. I saw you guys, your eyes light up a little bit when I was going through some of the things that are to come with convergence with the hotel platform. But as those come through, it's my team's job to educate you how to use them and to understand, from a data perspective, if you adopt this deal, typically in your market, what sort of increase in conversion and visibility you can see. Like, we want to provide all of that to you so that you can stay on the cutting edge. And I think it's a big differentiator for us. Not all companies invest in large teams of people that are onshore in America that are here specifically to help you. But trust me, we've done the math problem and it's a good investment for us too.
That's great. Thank you.
Dedication on our end.
Yeah. Well, thank you, Tim. And just again, for the time today and everything you guys are doing to keep trying to move this industry forward. It's amazing how far, I mean, I'm probably of everybody on this call, maybe I'm the most junior and I think I've been in it 8 years now. And just to see what it's done over the past 8 years is just a lot of fun because you always wonder what's around the next corner and hearing some of those things that I think a lot of people have been kind of talking about needing. And now I kind of feel like we're now on the cusp of starting to deliver is really exciting. So really appreciate you spending some time with us today.
Yeah, thrilled to spend time with you guys, and thanks for being such great partners.
Absolutely. That's it for this week's episode of GuestX. Be sure to sign up for our email list at guestxpodcast.com. That's guest, the letter X, podcast.com. And follow us on your favorite podcast app so you don't miss any episodes. We are Mr. Guest Experience, Brian Hamowy and Matthew Loney, signing off and reminding you to always create a customer experience worth talking about.
This podcast is a Hospitality.fm production.